This is Radio 4. It's Sunday morning. It's 10:15. It's time for The Archers.
Betty, let me do that.
Oh, it's done. Is that the last of them?
It's just a box of yoghurts. I got a...
There's a bacon sandwich in there for you. It's a bit cold, but it should be all right.
Oh, I said I didn't want no breakfast.
Well, you can't do the milk round on an empty stomach. Eat it while you're driving.
Sorry about oversleeping, love.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. Anyway, shouldn't worry, not this close after Christmas. There'll be plenty of folks late getting up.
Yeah, I did hear the alarm. I just couldn't seem to find the strength to lift me head off the pillar. It's pathetic, isn't it?
Oh, the pills will be the cause of that.
I think that's why I'm feeling so drowsy all the time.
Bound to be, love.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry you didn't get your lay-in. You look tired to me.
I'm as tough as old boots. Don't you worry about me. The main thing is for you to start feeling right again. You are feeling all right, aren't you, love?
Well, I feel a lot calmer. And think about things a bit more clearly.
That's the important thing, then.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I can't stop myself from thinking about the way I've treated you and the kids.
Oh.
Morning!
Morning, Sid.
Oh, you're up with the lark this morning, aren't you?
Trouble with being a publican is, unless people come to the pub, you don't see them.
You won't find that many people around this time of day, Sid.
I found you two.
Oh, only just. I'll off on me round.
Before you go, I wondered, Betty.
Can I do something for you?
Yeah, I wondered what you was doing New Year's Eve.
Oh, we're not doing much. Well, I can't drink booze with these tablets.
We don't normally make a big thing of New Year's Eve, do we, Mike?
One year's much like the next. Anyway, I'm off, or we won't have a milk rounder. I'll see you later.
Bye, Mike.
Take care, love.
How's he been?
Calmer since he saw the doctor.
The tablets helped, do they?
I suppose so, but I reckon it was more to do with admitting he had a problem in the first place.
I remember that.
So, what was it you wanted?
Oh, you don't fancy working in the bull on New Year's Eve, I suppose.
Why not?
You will.
I said so, didn't I?
Just thought I'd have trouble finding staff.
I might enjoy seeing a bit of life. Have you got an extension?
Yeah, life wouldn't be worth living if I closed the bull early on New Year's Eve.
And where are you going to be, Sid?
That depends on what Cathy says.
Oh, well, in that case, I reckon you'll be enjoying yourself.
You think so, Betty? Really think so?
More coffee, Debbie?
Oh, really, Mum?
What?
You know what?
All that I said was, more coffee.
And all that Marie Antoinette said was, let them eat cake. She still had a revolution on her hands.
Look, I...
No, Mum, you look. I haven't done anything wrong.
The day that any of my children admit they were in the wrong, I'll eat my hat.
Mum, I think that you're getting all this out of proportion.
Sneaky rendezvous with Roger behind my back. I think it's quite in proportion for me to be... hurt and angry.
He is my father.
In name only. Brian's been a father to you in all the ways that count.
I know that.
Well, then what do you want from Roger?
I don't want anything, Mum. But I couldn't just turn my back on him.
He'd turn his back on you and me.
I know how hurt you must have been.
Oh, no, you don't. Nobody could ever know what that felt like.
You talk about it as though it only happened yesterday.
Only because this has stirred it all up again. Why couldn't he just leave us alone?
You know, I've always felt that there was something wrong with me.
What?
Well, because my dad walked out on me and never really even bothered to find out if I was all right. I used to think he'd gone because of me, because I was unlovable.
Oh, Debbie, he applied for access to you and Adam.
I pity he didn't use it then.
Darling, I don't want all this stirred up again. I really don't. This is typical of Roger. Flies in on a whim with not a thought for the havoc he causes.
Mum, listen to me, please.
But if Brian comes in...
No, we've already agreed not to tell Brian. I've kept it quiet all weekend, haven't I?
Oh, go on.
All I want to say is that what happened between you and Roger is separate from what happened between me and Roger.
I don't understand.
You know why he left you, don't you?
Because he got bored with me.
Oh, Mum, he didn't say that, did he?
Well, he didn't have to. He just kept spending longer and longer away.
But I don't know why my father left me, do I? And I have to know that, Mum. I'm sorry, but I just do.
This isn't going to make you happy, Teddy.
I wasn't thinking about happiness. I was thinking about knowing who and what I am. How can I live my life without knowing that?
You just have no idea what you will have to go through. Yes?
Hi.
Oh, Lucy. Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
Forgot what?
We're going shopping in Borchester. Debbie's going to help me choose a dress for New Year's Eve.
I see. Well, I've got things to do. Bye, Mum.
Bye, Mrs. Aldridge.
While you're out, Debbie, just don't talk to any more strange men.
She's not still going on about Simon, is she?
In a way, yes.
Coffee, Tony.
Whew, I need that. I'm turning blue out here.
Oh, this'll soon warm you up.
Hello, hello.
What?
Something's up.
No idea what you're talking about.
No?
No. Just take this coffee and there's a chocolate bar in my coat pocket.
All right. What is it you want?
Tony, I always bring you a hot drink about this time if you're working outside.
Oh, yeah. But you usually dump the flask on the floor with a grunt and rush off back to the dairy.
Is there anything wrong with me wanting to have a quiet chat with my husband?
You've been a feminist for too long, Pat Archer.
What does that mean?
It means that now you've decided to try using your feminine guile on me again, your technique's got a bit rusty.
Cheek.
Can almost hear the mechanism creaking.
Look, I don't have to wheedle and catch. I'm an equal partner in this relationship, and don't you forget it. Feminine guile, indeed.
That's better. Now, what do you want?
I just want to talk about Mike.
Must we?
Tony, surely you want to do something to help the man out after the state he's been in?
Well, I feel sorry for Mike. Of course I do.
But?
You want to give him some work, right?
Right.
And in theory, I do too.
What do you mean, in theory?
This isn't easy for me to explain, Pat.
I'm listening.
I feel stupid slaying it.
This has really been getting to you, hasn't it?
You didn't know my dad.
No, but I get a good picture of what he must have been like.
Oh, no, Pat. No, he could be bad. There was two of my dad. The jolly, happy Jack the Lad that the public liked. And then there was the other one.
No, he had a temper.
On a bad day, and he had a lot of bad days, he was exactly like Mike Tucker.
Oh, Tony, I didn't realise.
Very few people did. Mum had a degree in keeping up a good public front.
She still has.
Well, she learnt it the hard way.
I didn't mean to criticise.
You didn't have to live with all that.
I know.
Old habits die hard. Even Granny Perkins didn't find out what he was really like for quite some time.
Oh, Tony.
In our family, we were brought up never to let any outsider know about that dark, depressed man who sat slumped in an armchair in a corner with a face like death.
Oh, love.
Oh, don't worry, Pat. I've got over it. At least, thought I had until it came to dealing with Mike Tucker.
I just thought we could help them if we gave Mike some work on a regular basis, but I hadn't thought it would have this effect on you.
Well, you know now. You haven't said anything to Betty, have you?
No, not in so many words. Right. I did say we'd meet them both for a drink this evening.
Oh, Pat, really?
Lucy, I didn't see you in the crush.
Do you always think in the street?
Was I?
Yes.
Oh, must be the tapes they was playing in Underwoods.
I didn't know you were coming to the sales.
No, I didn't know myself, and then I thought, Sid, treat yourself.
Well, what did you get?
I just got a white shirt. Never have too many white shirts.
I hope they're cotton.
Oh, I wouldn't wear anything else. Not with me having a skin like a baby's. I won't sound like a baby's what?
You're in a good mood.
Yeah. So, what do you buy, love?
Just a dress.
This college New Year's party, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Show us, then.
I don't think you'll approve.
Give us a chance to find out.
There.
Oh, nice bit of material.
I thought it was.
Make a lovely dress.
Don't you like it?
It's just a joke, look.
It's very fashionable.
Looks like a sequin bandage with shoulder straps to me.
Dad!
But you're only young once, love. And I expect you want to look your best for the lads at this party. And why shouldn't you, eh?
Well...
But that dress made quite a hole in your Christmas money.
It did, actually. All of it.
Take this, then. I don't want you going short, do we?
Dad, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, love, my pleasure.
Excuse me? Lucy?
Mrs. Aldridge has lost her Christmas spirit quick enough.
Lucy? Oh, hello, Sid.
What a scrum, eh?
Oh, some people have no manners. Lucy, I thought Debbie was shopping with you.
She was, up until a few minutes ago.
Oh, I see. Typical.
Huh?
Oh, it's quite normal, Sid. Our daughters just love conspiracies.
That's not fair.
Isn't it?
What's going on?
Debbie just slipped off to do something.
I bet she did.
Oh, here she is now.
Hi. Mum, what are you doing here?
Having my worst fears confirmed.
I told her you just slipped off to do something.
We all know what happens when you slip off on your own, don't we, darling?
Yes, Mum. Here.
Oh, what's this?
Try opening it, Mum.
Don't think it's... Oh!
They look nice and expensive.
They are. This is Aldridge's favourite chocolates from that little shop in the precinct.
Oh, I bet they cost an arm and a leg then.
That was the something special that Debbie slipped away to do.
Oh, why didn't you tell me, Lucy?
Because that would have spoilt my surprise. I wanted to say I'm sorry, Mum.
I don't know why we're doing this, Pat.
Because I'd already made the arrangement.
Well, I suppose I should be grateful for one evening when you're dragging me into the bull.
Instead of out of it. There they are.
Hello, you two. Hello, Pat. Tony.
Hey, Ned.
Come and sit down. I've already got your drinks in. Oh, that was nice of you, Betty, wasn't it, Tony?
Yeah, very nice. Thanks.
Of course, we should be buying. We did the inviting.
We can still afford to buy a rag.
Well, sit down, then. Right. Well, we'll get the next one, won't we, Tony?
Yeah. Cheers, then.
Yeah, good health.
Cheers. Well, here's to a happy new year all round, eh?
I'll drink to that.
I'll drink to anything.
I think everyone already knows that, Tony.
So, what was it you wanted to talk to us about then?
Eh?
I told them we had something to tell you.
You did?
You know I did.
Oh, yeah, you did.
We can just enjoy having a drink together, can't we?
Yeah, why not?
Tony?
What?
Say something.
Nice weather for the time of the year. Ouch! No, what we wanted to say was...
Yeah?
How would you both like to come over to us for New Year's Eve?
Yes, do come. It's John's birthday.
Yeah, of course, he didn't want a lot of old fogies around. Said I didn't understand.
And Tony said he understood only too well, and that was why we were going to be there.
Well, that'll be nice for you, won't it, Mike?
What?
New Year's Eve at Bridge Farm with Pat and Tony.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just like old times.
Only, I've agreed to work here. Help Sid out.
Ah, well, I'll make sure there's plenty of booze stashed away for us mature types, Mike.
Yeah, well, I can't drink with these tablets I'm taking.
Tony should have thought.
Never mind, I always say you can still have a good time without getting legless.
Really? How?
Yeah, in fact, I probably won't do anything special New Year's either. Just stay home with the kids, have an early night.
Oh, no, you must come, Mike. Bring the kids, they can sleep upstairs.
Oh, it won't be much fun if he can't drink. Yeah, sure. You come along, Mike.
Oh, it's very nice of you to ask us, anyway.
And we might have a bit of good news for you then, mightn't we, Tony?
Well, this is nice.
Oh, yes, it is, Sid. Cold, but nice.
You're not too cold?
No, I'm enjoying the fresh air. Blow away the Christmas cobwebs.
Funny we both had the same idea at the same time. Going for a walk.
Yeah, and the same place.
Always like the country park. Not as good as Cannon Hill Park in Brum, but it'll do.
You took me to Cannon Hill once, do you remember?
Oh, seems like another life. Another year, almost over, right?
Oh, no. Are you doing anything special to celebrate?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Oh?
Somebody gave me this ticket for a dinner dance in Felbersham.
Oh, that was generous of them.
Ah, yes, it was. Very posh do by the sound of it.
Just one ticket, eh?
It's a double ticket for two.
They usually are for two.
Sorry?
Double tickets.
Oh, I see.
This is beginning to sound like Private Lives.
Very flat, Norfolk.
You know it, then.
Surprised you did it?
No.
I never thought you were ignorant.
Oh, I know. Suppose it's been called Sid, eh? I mean, Sid Fields, Sid James. I mean, it's not a name that goes with fancy deeds, is it?
The Sydney Carlton, Tale of Two Cities.
El Sid.
Oh,
no. I suppose you wouldn't fancy coming to the dinner dance, would you?
Oh, Sid.
Yeah, well, it is short notice. You're bound to have made other arrangements.
Yes, I have, actually.
Oh, I'm not to worry.
I'll cancel it.
Can't say I was that keen in the first... Pardon?
I said I'll cancel it and come with you to the dinner dance.
Oh.
Don't look so horrified.
Oh, gobsmacked on anything?
I'm sure I can get out of my other arrangement.
Somewhere glamorous, was it?
Oh, drinks at a hotel in Birmingham, then see the New Year in at Centenary Square.
Oh. Could be fun.
Yes, well, I'll give the girls a ring. I'm sure they can manage without me.
Girls?
Friends from university days. Did you think I was going out with a travelling salesman?
Well, no reason why you shouldn't.
Isn't there?
So, I'll pick you up about 7:30?
Oh, is it formal?
Yes, says so on the ticket.
Oh,
but you look smashing, whatever you wear.
Yeah, but the thing is, Sid, what about Lucy?
What about Lucy?
Oh, yes. Though I say it as shouldn't you, Larcher. That is very, very special.
Jill, where did you...
Where did I what, Phil?
Oh, never mind. What's all this?
This is Coronation Chicken. Your favourite, if I remember rightly.
Well, yes, it is. But...
And this is Gooseberry Fool. And it's delicious.
Oh, sure it is, but I thought the whole plan was for us to spend New Year's Eve with just the two of us.
That's right, dear. And this is our supper. What on earth's going on out there?
Oh, it's nothing to worry about.
What do you mean, nothing to worry about? There are men in my hallway thumping and banging things about.
No, they're not men.
They don't exactly sound like field mice, dear.
No, it's only Bert and Neil.
And what are they doing here?
They're preparing my little surprise for you.
Oh, I see.
Well, I've decided to tell David tomorrow that I shan't be keeping Frieda anymore. That should start his new year off in good form.
You did say you were thinking about it. As long as you're sure.
Oh, he's right in a lot of ways. And at the moment, I want to concentrate on getting 100% fit again.
You will consider the magistrate work. It'll be a nice, gentle way to start. Just a minute! I don't want anybody in the family seeing all this.
Oh, no, right.
Come in!
Have I come at an awkward moment, Jill?
No, Pat, not at all.
What was that?
I'd better go and see to
Careful, Phil. Don't try and walk too fast.
Don't fast, Jill. I'll be fine. Hey! Got to be a bit more careful with that.
So, Pat, what can I do for you?
Plates. Wondered if I could borrow some.
Yes.
I know you won't be needing any.
No, quite.
I'll just help myself then, shall I?
Certainly.
May I ask your advice, Jill?
Something the matter?
I want Tony to offer Mike Tucker some regular work at Bridge Farm.
That would help them a lot.
Yeah. Trouble is that Tony suddenly announced he can't handle Mike when he's in this depressed state, as he reminds him of his dad.
Jack was always so jolly and flirtatious in public.
That's what I thought.
But in private, he was a different man. He could be very moody, especially when he was drinking.
So it is true, then.
Come on, you must be in.
We must have misheard them, Shula.
We've never really heard them at all.
What do you mean?
Well, we've assumed they'd be at Pat and Tony's this evening, but I don't remember Mum actually saying yes, she'd be there.
Are your Mum and Dad up to?
I don't think they're up to anything, do you?
Oh, don't ask me. I expect my Mum and Dad are out putting flaming crosses on somebody's front lawn.
Oh, Mark. Sorry.
I was joking, I hope.
Did you see that?
What?
Up there in the bedroom. I thought I saw a flicker of light, as if somebody moved the curtains. Oh,
looks pitch black to me.
I could have sworn...
Actually, no, I'm seeing things now.
What?
I thought I saw a sort of blue flickering light, the kind you got from black and white tellies.
Oh, it couldn't be. Mum and Dad have got colour, and it's in the living room.
Hmm. Well, shall we go back to Pat and Tony's, then?
Do you want to?
What time do you have to be at the church?
About 11:45. Why?
Gives us about an hour.
To do what?
Talk.
Of course.
I just wanted to tell you that, I'm not very good at this.
Mark?
Nothing's wrong, quite the opposite.
Oh, that's a relief.
I just wanted you to know that I love you very much.
Oh, darling.
I know I don't tell you very often, but that doesn't mean I don't think it.
I know.
And whatever happens next year, even if it stays just the two of us, I won't love you any the less for that.
He'll stop me crying in a moment.
Oh, no more crying. I think we've done our share.
I hope so.
Come here.
You know, I have the strangest feeling that we're being watched.
I'd almost forgotten what it's like enjoying myself.
You laughed enough when that waiter dropped the chicken.
Yeah, I'm glad we had the fish.
Oh, I'd love to have a dance with you, Sid.
Whoa, not if they're going to play any more of that. What my Aunt Rini used to call tingle-eerie music.
Tingle what?
Never mind. May I have the pleasure?
You may.
This is more my tempo.
I thought you didn't like dancing.
I don't like thrashing about like a whirling dervish, but this, oh, this is dancing.
Yes, it is.
I'm held you in my arms for...
Oh, it seems like 100 years.
200.
Too long?
Yes, Kathy. Too long.
Sid?
Don't say it.
I don't know
don't
what...
care what you're going to say, love. I just want to hold you in your arms and dance and not think about the past, all right?
All right with me.
Cassie.
Should we be kissing?
You already have.
I'm not sure if we should be kissing when we're in the middle of getting divorced.
Kissing's more fun.
Oh, I can't argue with that, Sid.
Could postpone getting divorced.
At least until we've had another kiss.
If not longer.
Oh. It's not going to be easy.
No, I know that. But then, is anything worth having in this life easy?
That's one lesson I most certainly have learnt.
So I had to learn it too.
I'm so sorry that I hurt you like I did.
Perhaps because I left you no other way to touch me, Kathy.
Sid.
What?
You're full of surprises.
Oh. And there was me thinking I was dead boring.
To quote the words of this song, you may have been a headache, but you never were a bore.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I don't know why Casablanca's my favourite film, but it is.
I like it too.
I should feel guilty.
What on earth for?
Not spending New Year's Eve with the children.
Oh, they'll all be having a wonderful time.
Even Elizabeth in Scotland.
Well, there's not much we can do about that at the moment.
If Cameron Fraser hurts her...
Oh, she seems to know what she's doing.
Don't we all think we know at that age?
Well, you certainly knew what you were doing.
No, that was different, Phil. I knew you were the man I wanted to marry.
Well, she'll have to work it out for herself.
No! You can't come in the bedroom, Jed, and that's final.
You're an old softy, Jill. He ought to be out in his kennel. We'll never make a sheepdog of him if he's kept in the house.
I'd better get up and switch off the set. I wonder if that was Mark and Shula at the door earlier.
I think it was.
You know, I think it'll do them good to spend some time together.
Where did Kenton say he was going?
He didn't.
Wish he wasn't such a dark horse.
I don't think he is, really. I think he likes to pretend he is, but inside he's quite a shy person who prefers his own company.
Perhaps you're right.
Oh, listen, the church bells. It's Shula.
Oh, open the window so we can hear them properly.
Is that a good idea, Phil? The cold in your hip?
Yeah, open the window, Jill, for heaven's sake. I've got enough blankets on top of me. You coming back to bed?
Oh, most certainly am. I don't know about anybody else, but this is where I want to be.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Jill.
Happy New Year, Phil. And Happy New Year to you too, Jet.
Not on the bed, you silly dog.
Come on, Phil. It is a special occasion.
Oh, just this once then. Happy New Year.
Are you awake, Peggy?
Yes, Jack, I'm awake. Oh, happy anniversary.
You don't know how happy today's going to be. What do you think of that?
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Tea, juice, and your favourite breakfast.
Oh, and such lovely flowers. Oh, thank you, Jack.
Oh, there's more.
Good heavens, I can't take any more in at this time of the morning.
You'll like this. Now, where does it go? Ah, here it comes.
I expect I can guess. Oh, Jack.
Our song, eh, Peggy?
Oh, yes, lovely.
1 year ago today?
We got married 1 year ago. We didn't meet 1 year ago.
Oh, same difference. Fancy our meeting, eh?
Oh, who'd have thought that at my age I'd still be having a romance to the same music I danced to when I was a girl.
And poor Al Bowley's dead.
Just over 50 years ago.
1941.
A bomb on the Café de Paris in Leicester Square, wasn't it?
Now, a lot of people think that's how he was killed, but actually, it was a bomb on his flat in St Martin's Lane.
I remember that night.
Do you, Peggy?
I'd gone out dancing, and there was a terrible raid, and when I did get home, Mum was out of her mind with worry.
She thought you were at the Café de Paris.
Well, I was an Al Bowley fanatic, and I did try and go anywhere he was singing.
The things we do to worry our parents, eh?
And then you become a parent yourself and find out what it feels like.
I know, Peggy, I know.
Oh, I'm sure Hazel tried to call you and wish you a happy new year.
Well, the phones were quite busy last night.
And nobody would have heard the phone at Pat and Tony's party.
Oh, it's got to do, wasn't it? Everybody was there.
Everybody except Jill and Phil.
Kathy wasn't there either, but I know she had the night off.
Strange, because Sid wasn't at the ball when I looked in.
You don't think that...
I'm not thinking anything except what our plans are for today.
Oh, well, I thought we'd have a special little dinner up at Grey Gables tonight.
No.
Pardon?
I've already made plans for us.
Yeah, but I always...
One of my New Year resolutions. Don't wait for other people to do things for you.
Oh, yes, right. Well, you don't mind having lunch at Grey Gables, do you? Because I'm sure Jean-Paul...
Lunch will be fine. But tonight, we are going into Birmingham to the Symphony Hall.
Oh, not Barry Manilow, is it?
No, Jack. The Bolshoi Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, nice.
Well, Birmingham is City of Music in 1992.
And as a Brummie, I ought to support it, quite right.
I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, nothing's going to spoil our anniversary, Peggy. Nothing at all.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey? Oh, not so bad, thanks, Vicar. Oh, I'm sorry. What am I supposed to call you?
How about Robin?
Oh, right.
Waiting for Jack Woolley, are you?
Yeah, he said he'd take me up to Grey Gables, show me a job he wants doing.
Oh, I expect there's lots of things need seeing, too, this time of the year.
Oh, I just want some gutters cleared.
If you had the time, I've a few jobs at the vicarage.
Oh, well, never say no to a bit of work.
No, I know. I admire you for it.
Me? You admire me? Get off.
Is that not allowed, then?
No, it's just... Well, I ain't had much in the way of admiration in this village. Not for a long time.
I know the feeling.
Sorry?
Don't look so surprised.
No, it's just, well... You don't give the impression of...
Ever having been a human being who makes mistakes?
Well, I suppose that's daft of me.
Not really. Now, the church has never been very good at advertising that its representatives are also human. Quite the opposite, until recently.
Well... It's all a bit beyond me, that.
I'm going to have to enroll in the Plain English campaign, then, aren't I?
Oh, no, I understand the words. I just don't know why you're telling me.
Perhaps we have something in common.
Such as?
Finding Christmas a bit of an endurance test this year.
What? You mean that...
Oh, that's disgusting! What kind of person would do that?
What's up with him, then?
You all right, Jack?
Oh, I was right as rain till I found that.
What?
There's a dead sheep in my hedge. I mean, it's outrageous.
Oh, dear. That sounds ominous.
Well, what a thing to find on your wedding anniversary. Oh, dear. I must get rid of it before Peggy sees it.
Well, that's easier said than done.
What?
Get rid of a dead ewe.
Well, couldn't you do it for me, Mike? I'll pay you, of course.
It's not that easy.
Ah, too right it's not.
What am I going to do? I can't leave it there.
Now, there are proper channels through which you can arrange for its disposal.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Pardon?
Oh, nothing.
I think your best plan of action will be to telephone the Environmental Health Officer.
Ah, and he'll come and shift it, will he?
Fat chance.
You have to get someone to admit that dead animals are their responsibility. At the moment, there's no actual policy on their disposal.
Oh, charming. Oh, I just wish I could get my hands on whoever dumped it there.
Yeah, well, whoever it was, I've been too fly for that.
How do you mean?
Oh, I just had a look. They removed the ear tag. No chance of finding where it come from.
Oh.
Seems to be an increasing occurrence.
Yeah, when I was farming, you could get the knackers to take your dead animals away and make a bit on the side. Well, these days, half of them have gone out of business.
Mais c'est pas croyable, quel paysan du Danube!
Congratulations for Mr. and Mrs. Woolley. They really enjoyed the lunch. Although Mr. Woolley spent most of it running to the phone and muttering about dead sheep.
Quel abruti!
Oh, dear.
Look what he's done, look!
Oh, not Stefan again.
He has broken the point off one of my best knives.
How did he manage that?
Probably picking a stone out of his hoof.
Now, let's not show our prejudices.
He was prizing open a tin.
A tin? We don't use tins, do we?
No, we don't. Not in my kitchen.
Well, that's probably why I couldn't find a tin opener. Oh, we'll get you a new knife, Jean-Paul, I promise.
Yes, what about a new kitchen boy?
Oh, he's very good. You said so yourself.
Yes, at being a lifeguard. And why are you smiling, Caroline?
Is it a crime?
No, I am sorry.
I've got a date.
A date?
Yes, I was rather surprised myself.
Mm-hmm. So, who is it?
Robin.
The vet who is also a priest.
The very same.
Not bad, although to be single at his age is suspicious.
You're single?
Exactly.
Be serious.
Oh, perhaps oysters? No, not on a bank holiday. I mean, I should have had more warning.
No, Jean-Paul, he's invited me to the vicarage, and he's cooking.
Uh-huh.
And before you say anything, if the food is as good as his mince pies...
I see.
Of course, this is only a thank you dinner.
Only?
Yes, for looking after Patch.
In that case, do not tell him how you lost his dog. Not unless you want to sabotage a romance in the bud.
It's not a romance, Jean-Paul.
Oh, it's not?
No. Nevertheless, I won't tell him I lost Patch.
Mm-hmm. At last, a bit of sophistication is creeping into your handling of men, Caroline. There is hope for you yet.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's religious for a start, and I'm not. But he does have lovely eyes.
Romance is certainly in the air at the moment.
Why?
Well, I don't want to spoil your day, but...
Oh, after a dead ewe, I'm immune.
I found out where Cathy was last night.
Yes, at a dinner dance in Felpersham. She told me that herself.
Ah, but who? Biff?
Oh, I do know, actually.
Sydney?
Sid.
Her husband?
Yes.
Well, you know what that means, don't you? Now she has found love again, she will not want her job.
There we are.
Oh, tar very much.
Now, about this job.
Well, I'd be happy to turn me hand to anything, as long as it's not shifting dead ewes.
Well, there are definitely no dead bodies at the vicarage. At least, not the last time I looked.
So, about this job?
Sorry, Mike. I do tend to rabbit on sometimes.
Oh, that's all right. Nice to have a chat with someone who don't keep looking at me as though I might whip out a meat cleaver and go for him.
Now, people are very nervous of anything they can't see, smell or touch, and that includes religion.
Yeah, I suppose they are.
Now, back to the job. I've got a bad case of warped doors.
Huh?
Some of them are scraping on the floors.
Oh, well, I've got a good plane. I mean, should be no problem.
Oh, it'd be a big help to me. Cheers, Mike. Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, right. Cheers.
Well, I suppose a toast and orange juice is just as valid.
Well, you don't have to lay off the booze just because I am.
I'm not in a drinking mood.
I've got to give these pills a chance, haven't I?
Well, they helped me.
Go on.
I had a few family problems. Nothing like you've been through, though.
Is that what you meant before, about Christmas?
Yes.
Don't rightly see how...
A single man can understand?
Something like that, yeah.
I was married, and I've got two children.
Blimey.
My wife left me for someone else. Is that such a surprise to you?
Well, no, I just didn't think.
We all tend to live in our own little self-contained worlds.
Yeah, till they explode, and it's everyone's business.
I couldn't have put that better myself.
There's more to you than meets the eye, isn't there?
I'm afraid my wife didn't seem to think so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was at first, hence the pills. But I got through it. We've been divorced for 2 years now.
Yeah, I didn't think you could be.
The PCC knows all about it.
Oh. Life's full of surprises, isn't it?
It would be very boring if it wasn't.
Good evening.
Evening, Cathy.
Oh, hello, Cathy. Hey, you look great.
You look like a woman who knows where she's going.
Yes, I'm going to collect Sid. We're having a night out.
Oh, nice to see you both. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Wow. Who'd have thought they'd get together again after all they've been through?
Very well then, Mike. It just shows you there's no problem so great it can't be solved. Eventually.
How's it going, Mike?
Almost finished this one.
I feel a bit vulnerable without a front door.
Especially wearing that.
What?
A penny. You're cooking something special, then?
Not for you, I'm afraid. You'll have to make do with a sandwich.
Oh, well, that suits me.
I don't know how these doors could have got so ill-fitting.
Oh, so in the subsidence.
Oh, not subsidence. I've been through all that before, thank you.
I reckon it's just down to the time of year. Cold and damp.
Oh, that's a relief.
Yeah, it's always the quickest way to fix them, taking them off their hinges.
Luckily, it's warm in the kitchen.
Hello. You sightseers.
Morning.
Morning, Sharon. How's Kylie, then?
Oh, she's all right. She's asleep at the moment.
Anything I can do for you, Sharon?
No, I was just taking her for a walk. Martha can't take Kylie till Betty gets back from the sales.
A bit like going down memory lane, then, coming over this way.
Sorry?
Before your time. I used to live here.
Yeah, with the horrible Arabin.
He wasn't that bad.
This is all new to me.
So's a bloke in a penny.
Yeah, well, your Clive wouldn't have known one end of the saucepan from the other.
Are you one of them new men that the magazines keep going on about?
I don't think so.
Nothing changes then, does it?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No, but you're a bloke.
Someone sounds bitter.
Yeah, Pat Archer been getting at you, has she?
I'll tell you what's getting at me. I don't get paid the same wage as a bloke does for doing about the same work.
Still goes on? Discrimination?
What about all this equal opportunities we keep hearing about?
Depends where you're standing. Pat's been going on at me about seeing that woman lawyer with a funny name that I can never pronounce.
Usha Gupta, isn't it?
I can't get me tongue round it.
Well, you managed Torquil, all right.
The next person that says that will get the back of my hand.
Oh, it's just a joke, Sharon. She wants to help you, does she?
Well, that's what she says.
Well, why else should she offer if she hadn't had your best interests at heart?
Well, unless she thinks she wants to lure you into white slavery.
I'm already in white slavery at the canning factory.
If she's offering you a chance to put things right, why don't you take it then?
Because all them places, offices and that, they remind me of the DSS, and I hate it.
Martha, I'm sorry if I kept you waiting. Martha? Martha, you're at the back? Martha? Oh, Martha's that you?
All right, love. What's this then, talking to yourself?
Can you believe what Martha's done?
Oh, I expect so.
Well, I know I was a bit late getting back from Borchester, but she's only marched off and left the shop unattended.
Well, she's getting a bit gaga these days, isn't
she? I know that, but...
Yeah, what's this? She left you a note.
Very nice of her, I'm sure. Why didn't she stick a sign in the window while she was at it? Shop empty, burglars welcome.
I had to go, have locked till regards, Martha Woodford, brackets, Mrs.
I'll give her brackets.
Well, nothing missing, is there?
Well, I don't think so, but what if Mr. Woolley had come in?
Well, he might have left a dead ewe in your waste paper basket.
Glad to see you in a cheerful mood, love.
Am I?
You're almost your old self again.
Yeah, well, it's a long road yet, though.
I know, but we can get there, can't we?
I hope so, yeah. Just I feel so guilty about the way I treated you and the kids.
Well, don't. We're fine, and you're going to be fine as well, so no guilty feelings, all right?
Morning.
Oh, don't mention Martha, will you?
Nah. Hi, Pat.
Oh, good. I've caught the both of you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, what have we done?
Nothing. I've got a bit of news for you, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
Tony wants me to tell you
that... Oh, it has to be bad news, then.
Mike.
I know he's been a bit funny.
Well, that's an understatement. I mean, he's been avoiding me since before the new year.
Yeah, well, that's... Oh, look, I can't explain, but just take my word for it. He's got a few problems of his own.
Oh, I see. I think.
Well, anyway, never mind about that. But the thing is, Mike, he wants to know if you'd be interested in some regular work at Bridge Farm starting on Monday.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, you know I will.
Thanks, Pat.
Only be leaks and stuff, you know, lifting and packing, that sort of thing.
Well, every little helps.
Good. So I can tell him you'll accept.
You certainly can, and thanks very much.
Yeah, we're very grateful, Pat.
Oh, come on. My husband's such a slave driver, he'll get his money's worth out of you.
Poor things. They're starving. I don't suppose many people bother to feed them in this weather.
I do. I often come up here at lunchtime.
Oh, it's a bit nippy out here.
You said you didn't feel comfortable in my office.
No, it was a good idea to walk in the park.
You're not wearing a lot for such cold weather.
No, well, I don't feel right in a lot of heavy clothes.
That's what I used to say when I was your age. So, about your problem.
I don't know.
I think you do.
Eh?
I know what you're worried about.
Oh, yeah? Thought reader, are you?
Look, Sharon, I don't want to pressurize you. It's all right for you, though, isn't it? Is it? You've got a posh job and all that.
I didn't get it by accepting the status quo.
I thought they were a group.
Status quo means...
I know what it means. I ain't thick.
If I thought you were thick, I wouldn't bother.
Do you mean that?
I think you're very bright, and it annoys me to see you being exploited.
Some of them blokes in the canning factory, they're as thick as two short planks. They still get paid more than I do.
Exactly. So you have two choices.
What?
You can either accept discrimination and go around muttering and getting sour and bitter about it, which was the only choice women had for hundreds of years. Or you can use the law to try and get what's rightfully yours.
You mean it's either moan or fight?
I do.
But won't they kick me out as soon as they find out it's me?
No, because they won't find out it's you.
But I'll have to stand up in court.
The plan of action I have worked out should avoid a court hearing.
What's that then?
Well, I shall write to the management of the canning factory and suggest a meeting to discuss the pay differentials that I've heard are in operation.
And?
That's the first stage.
But what if they ignore you?
Oh, they won't ignore me, I can assure you of that. I'm not easy to ignore.
No, you're not, are you?
Gosh, Sharon, that almost sounded like a compliment.
I like that perfume you're wearing. Bet that cost a bomb.
Well, yes, it is quite expensive.
I can't afford to pay legal fees. Not the kind that'll buy you expensive perfume.
The fees will be paid through legal aid, Sharon.
Oh.
And the perfume was from my boyfriend. He bought it in the duty free.
Free?
Perfume or legal aid? So what about it?
Yeah, all right then. Why not?
You want me to go ahead?
Yeah. Although I get the feeling that you almost want to do it with or without me.
You're a sharp judge of character, Sharon.
Who, me?
Now I'm afraid it's back to the office to fill in the dreaded green forms.
More sorbet, Caroline.
Oh, no, Robin, I really couldn't. I'm very impressed with your cooking.
You'd like my mince pies?
Well, yes, but I wasn't expecting you to be a real cook.
I can't take full credit for the sorbet.
No?
I got the recipe from Robert Snell.
Jean-Paul told me that Robert was a bit of a foodie.
It's nice to find a man in the village that can talk about the less macho aspects of life.
Yes, quite. Perhaps you might have a lot in common with Jean-Paul.
Who knows? So, shall I put on the coffee?
Oh, not for me. I'm a bit jumpy this evening.
I have unleaded.
Sorry?
Decaffeinated coffee.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
A brandy, perhaps?
No, really.
Do you want to talk about it?
What?
Whatever it is that's making you jumpy.
Oh, I think it's just overworked, really. Mr. Woolley and the endless phone calls about the dead ewe.
Still no luck?
The environmental health officer referred him to the animal health officer, who referred him to the trading standards officer, who referred him on
the
to...
The old council run around.
Trouble is, every call he made, he had to rerun to me in detail. And as there were rather a lot of them, it took up most of my day. Then I got behind with my work and the... Do you know, I think I will have that brandy after all.
Coming up.
So, how did you start cooking?
I just went into the kitchen one day and...
Ask a silly question.
I just like good food, Caroline. And there wasn't anyone else around to cook it apart from me.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
So, have you always lived alone?
No, Caroline.
Oh.
I'll tell you all about it if you're that interested.
Oh, good heavens. Why should you tell me your personal details?
I only meant...
Oh, I'm sorry, that sounded very rude. I didn't mean...
It's all right. I expect I sounded a bit cagey.
You have every right to be. It's obviously still painful.
I've survived.
Oh. One does.
More brandy?
Oh. I drank that rather quicker than I intended.
More?
Why not? Where's Pat?
She's asleep in my study.
Well, down the hatch.
You really are in a bad way.
I don't have a drink problem, if that's what you mean.
I had no intention
of... Look, Robin, I think this was a mistake.
Why?
I think we've got our wires crossed.
We must have, as I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm making a fool of myself.
Don't worry so much about what other people think. I don't. Although it's probably easier for men.
And not for women.
Well, how should I know? Look, Caroline, I get on fine with women.
Some of your best friends.
I have had some very close friendships with women, yes.
Yes, I bet you have. And you thought that... Oh, silly old me.
Eh?
It's all right, Robin.
I'm really not prejudiced about that sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
The love that dare not speak its name sort of thing, as my uncle would have put it.
You don't think... Oh, you do.
What's the joke?
You went by any chance under the impression that I was gay.
Well, aren't you?
Oh, dear. My ex-wife accused me of many things, but even she would have been astonished by that one. I'm sorry.
I think I'd better go. And I think you ought to know that I lost your damn dog.
Caroline. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
What? But that's what they all say.
Mr. Woolley.
Not now, Caroline. You what?
Sorry.
Well, I hope you do, because I shall go on at you again. I won't be ignored, I promise you that. Yeah, well, I'll expect your call, thank you.
Still the ewe.
If I never see another sheep as long as I live.
Luckily, the weather's very cold.
Oh, yes. Imagine if it happened during a heat wave.
Oh, I'd rather not. I'm feeling rather fragile this morning.
Oh, how did it go?
How did what go?
Your date, Caroline.
Who told you I had a date?
Well, Jean-Paul did, of course.
Oh, I might have known.
With the vicar.
It was not a date. It was a thank you dinner.
Well, of course it was, Caroline.
Why do I get the feeling that everybody's humouring me?
Oh, I'm far too busy with my own problems. Peggy's very upset.
She looked rather morose.
Well, that dead ewe's hardly a pleasant garden feature, is it?
No. Especially in winter when there's little else to see.
You know, I bet he won't phone me back.
You said he was very nice.
Well, he was nicer the first time I called him. I think now he's getting as frustrated as I am.
Some people really are irresponsible.
Oh, I almost forgot. Linda Snell telephoned you.
Whatever for?
Something about the pantomime.
Oh, I thought we'd seen the back of it.
Anyway, she said she'd pop over this afternoon to see you.
Oh, that's all I need.
Caroline?
Yes, Mr. Woolley.
Look, I don't want to pry, but...
No.
But are you upset about something?
Jean is asking for a thick ear.
Well, he does worry about you, you know.
He has a funny way of showing it at times.
Oh, dear. I don't want tensions between my staff, especially when I've got all my other worries.
The ever-present you.
Well, haven't you been able to make any progress?
But you've been making all the phone calls, Mr. Woolley.
Well, it was in my garden. It's not officially Grey Gables' business, is it?
No. Although, to be quite honest, I couldn't be any more concerned than if it was in the swimming pool at the health club. Oh, if that's Linda Snell.
Grey Gables, Jack Woolley speaking. Oh, hello. You did call back then. Yeah, did you have any... Oh, you have. Oh, what a relief.
She solved your problem.
Looks like it, yes. Hello? Yes, just let me get a pen.
Dad, what a funny man you are. Talk your way out of this one, Debbie.
Debbie? Debbie?
Yes, Mum?
Whose car's this blocking the garage?
Funny you should ask that.
Must say, we don't normally have such a flashy new car parked outside the house.
You'll have to get used to it.
What?
It's mine, Mum.
Very funny, darling.
No, it's not funny, Mum. It's all a bit embarrassing, actually.
Would you mind explaining what it's all about?
The car, it arrived while you were out. It was driven here.
I could work that out for myself. I didn't expect it was delivered second post.
It's a present. From Dad.
From Bran?
No, Mum.
Oh, no, Debbie. Tell me it's not true.
Roger sent it.
Well, we'll just have to send it right back again, won't we?
Why?
Oh, what do you mean, why? It's patently obvious why. You can't take a ridiculously expensive car from Roger Travers Macy.
No, he phoned...
Oh, I could kill him. I really could.
He phoned to say it was my 21st birthday present.
Oh, that stupid, impulsive, irrational, infuriating
Calm
man.
Down, Mum.
Calm down? Well, what's Brian going to say?
What can he say?
He doesn't even know that you've seen Roger.
We've seen Roger.
You wouldn't tell him.
I promised, didn't I?
You've got to get this car out of here before Brian sees it, and that's all there is to it.
I'm keeping the car.
Oh, no, you're not.
He owes me.
Look, I'll buy you a new car, Debbie. I'll buy you anything, but please, please don't accept this from him.
Why are you so upset?
Because he's trying to buy you.
I'm not for sale, Mum, so that's easy. And I'm keeping this car. I worked it out, and if you divide the cost by the number of Christmases and birthdays he's missed, well,
We just about break even.
Oh, that blasted student's guts forgot us. Coming back to refill them. What on earth?
Brian? Hi, Dad. What do you think of my new car?
Oh, Debbie, how could you?
You're looking noticeably more chirpy, Mr. Woolley.
Oh, I could put my Mantovani tapes on and foxtrot round reception.
Obviously a load off your mind.
A dead you off my mind and off the front lawn as well. Oh, what a nice man he is.
The environmental health officer.
Charming, so courteous. I wish all public servants were like that.
Oh, I expect they will start off being amiable, just get worn down by badgering and disappointments.
Oh, Caroline, you are upset about something. Look, why don't you tell me?
Oh, there you are, Caroline.
Mrs. Snell.
That woman turns up like a bad penny.
Now, there is no point in being evasive and furtive.
I beg your pardon?
I've had it all day and I'm becoming quite immune. I've hardened my heart.
Whatever's the matter, Linda?
Paying one's debts.
Eh?
What debt would this be?
I presume you can't already have forgotten that exquisite costume you wore as Princess Val Rubidor.
She's still got the rash.
What rash?
I'm allergic to lurex.
You also tore the braid off the hem.
Oh, not deliberately, I'm sure.
These stupid spike heels, I'm not used to them.
Oh, I've had far worse to cope with. Eddie Grundy's costume was cannibalised. Clary put Velcro in for the quick changes, and now she brazenly refuses to make good the repair.
Mrs. Snell, what did you want? I am at work.
The bill for the costume hire. I'd like you to pay it.
Do you have to take that tone?
Don't argue in reception, please.
Well, sure, I'm not arguing.
I do wish you wouldn't talk as though I'm evading responsibility for something I've only just heard about, Mrs. Snell.
You wouldn't be alone. I've asked all the cast today, and not one of them will pay up.
But this is the first time you've even mentioned it to me.
Linda, I do think your tone is uncalled for.
Oh, I see. I am to be penalised for not coming cap in hand, grovelling for what is rightfully owed to me.
I'll pay you when I'm good and ready, Mrs. Snell, and not before. Now, I'd be very grateful if you'd leave the reception desk. This is a place of business, not the rag market.
Well...
You certainly told her, Caroline. I wish Peggy had been here to see it.
Oh, the cheek of the... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
Caroline, don't cry. Not over a silly pantomime costume.
No. I just remember what an utter fool I made of myself with Robin last night. Oh, I feel so humiliated. Oh,
it couldn't have been that bad, could it?
Oh, no. Huh? I only told you that I had no prejudice just because he was gay.
But he's not, is he?
No.
Well, he's divorced. Peggy told me.
Yes, I know that now.
Look, I think you need another holiday.
No, I'll be fine, really.
Oh, well, anyway, Caroline, you didn't have any romantic ideas about Robin, did you?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Ah, so, no harm done. Anyway, you're not even religious, are you?
Not the slightest.
Well, there you are, then. So, there's nothing to be upset about, is there?
Job, we've got a big garage.
Is Roger going to pay for the tax and insurance on that thing?
I hadn't really thought about it.
You know, if you told me how important it was for you to have a new car...
I hadn't thought about it until it turned up.
Ah, so he can add mind reading to his list of many accomplishments then, can he?
What do you mean?
Roger Travers Macy didn't know you wanted a new car, and yet he managed to buy you one and have it delivered to you without so much as a word being exchanged between you.
Sort of.
You must think I was born yesterday.
All right. I haven't told you the whole truth.
Oh, I know you haven't, young lady.
I didn't want to hurt you.
Seems Roger doesn't feel the same way.
I don't expect he thought about it.
Why should he break the habit of a lifetime?
Look, he phoned me up on my birthday to wish me a happy 21st.
How very caring of him.
Well, better than being completely ignored, I suppose.
And he said, by the way, I'll be sending you an enormously expensive motor car by return of
post. He did say he was sending me a present, yes.
So, you kept the phone call to yourself, did you?
Oh, absolutely.
Jenny didn't know.
Oh, no. No, the first Mum knew about it was when she saw the car blocking the drive.
Something, I suppose. Because from what I've gathered, Roger Travers Macy had a very unsettling effect on your mother.
Yeah, but that was years ago.
All the same. Rather he didn't make a habit of this.
A new car every year can't be bad.
I hope that's a joke.
All right, Dad.
I can't believe that you're so blasé about this, Debbie.
You're really upset, aren't you?
Oh, 10 out of 10. What did you expect?
I didn't think.
You get that from your father. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
It's okay.
But it's not. I mean, he drops you and your mother and brother and swans off with some other woman, and then he thinks he can just buy your affection.
He's not buying me.
So you say.
I think he's a selfish swine. Where was he when you were ill? I mean, you could have been dead for all he cared. I've treated you like my own daughter, Debbie. I've worried and cared and provided for you, and then I have to go and work.
Dad? Dad! Thank you, darling.
Mum, have you been here all the time?
Most of the time, yes. Thank you for not telling Brian that we've seen Roger.
Oh, don't mention it. I mean, look how well everything's turned out.
Brian was upset, wasn't he?
I'm shocked. I've never seen him show his feelings like that before.
Well, never mind, darling. As long as he doesn't find out we've seen Roger, this will all pass over.
I don't like this.
What do you think I do? But you won't tell him, will you?
I've said I won't.
Oh, that's a relief.
There isn't anything for Brian to be jealous of, is there, Mum?
Oh, don't be so ridiculous. Whatever are you suggesting?
Well, Roger's a very attractive man. I just wondered if there might not still be a little torch burning.
I told you, there's absolutely nothing between Roger and me. How could there be after all these years?
Archers was written by Sam Jacobs, and the agricultural story editor was Anthony Parkin. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Joanna Toy, and the editor was Vanessa Whitburn. In 50 minutes, pick of the year. First, on Radio 4, Newsstand with Hugh Pricer-Jones.
Hello. Fretting about the year ahead of us? 1992 has the makings of a bad one. Chaos abroad, and at least one general election before we get to 1993. But the gloomiest predictions I could find came from Sky magazine. Even ravers, it seems. We'll have to watch it.
Just when you'd got to grips with rave, house, bleep, soul, techno, reggae, indie dance and dancehall, get ready to be even more confused. As house music splits into hardcore rave music and garage sound, expect rave to become more like train spotting. Public Enemy's tour with thrash metal nutters Anthrax is due to come to Britain. The name on everybody's lips at the moment is Dread Flintstone, with his totally wired combination of funk and reggae. It's a kick in the pants for formula music, says Dread with typical Los Angeles humility.
Optimism is pretty thin on the ground over here at the moment, but I did find some. In a special New Year publication for The Economist, The World in 1992, yours for £3.75, if you can spare it. Its editor is Tory MP Dudley Fishburne. He is not downhearted.
1992 will be a good year, paving the way for a yet better 1993. Every modern economy will see a real increase in its wealth. What makes this extraordinary period of wealth creation continue unchecked? Our reports from around the world show that there will be a consensus to follow the tenets of capitalism: low inflation, fiscal rectitude, and liberalization of controls.
Mr. Fishburne is a lonely man. Caterer and hotel keeper, for instance, with a gypsy and crystal ball on its front cover this month, wonders despairingly if the rat, or rather the mouse, are threatening their sinking ship.
I remember the tough times of the early 60s, and I worked with some leading hotel groups in the recession years of 73 to 75 and 79 to 82, but nothing compares with the length and depth of this recession. I predict that average rates will be up by only 5 to 10%, but the development we must all watch is that at precisely 9:01 a.m. on the 12th of April, Euro Disney, which is in effect the equivalent of a competitive country, will open a short distance away.
And it's the same story in this week's Investor's Chronicle. £1.40's worth of fuel for your financial worries. Rory Clelland-Jones looks in vain for signs of a recovery.
It is to the Quarterly Survey of Industrial Trends that economists look...